I absolutely agree with you. Where to start? I mean, I think that the big topic on the agenda last night was the water treatment plant. I was not at the meeting. Logan, you were, so maybe you can start this line of questioning.
Yeah, and I think we know at least the situation, a lot of the situation there, for how we got here. And if folks have questions, I would really encourage you to go back and look at some of the newscasts we did yesterday to get you a good quick summary on how we got here. But I think the new item, at least from my perspective, is the kind of change in cost. That was the big one that kind of, I think, stood out from a lot of perspectives. And there's quite a bit of questions on. So maybe, Ben, talk a little bit about the change from what we knew this fall to now in the cost of the project.
Yeah, sounds good, Logan. Happy to do that. I would say, too, maybe I'll just start just so the listeners understand that the council did reject the bids last evening. We did have... we had four bidders. The engineer's estimate, as you said, was a little over $41 million, and the low bid came in at $61 million. The next lowest bid was $63 million, and then it jumped up quite a bit. The spread, I think one of the things I would say is the engineer's estimate, it was a dramatic change, right? So normally if a project's at or really close or below bid and you've gone through a construction document at this phase, you're pretty much have made the decision to do the project. But when it's that far off, really warrants greater scrutiny as to why was it off, what happened with that. So it's a great first question, because that was really the meat of the issue, I think, on a lot of what we heard. Might have changed the dynamics of last night, I would have suspect, had that been different. But the reasons, we did have Bolton & Mink, who that is their estimate that they do. They're a very respected professional firm. A couple of things. One is we knew timing-wise wasn't helpful, because last spring is when the estimate was done. So there's a lot of money spent in paying estimators to go to market, check pricing, which they do as part of their work. All contractor major firms do that kind of work. And then we didn't come back until November to authorize the bids. And then, you know, the bids came in December, basically. Normally you have a tighter time frame with that. But because of we are waiting for a decision on federal funding, where we are holding out for potentially significantly more federal dollars, that time variation caused issue. We didn't predict that it would take so long from the federal level to get an answer on it. So that many months, we do know, has had pretty significant increases. That's one of them. I think another one is because of the loans that we would get for the project, there was new provisions that were added that never existed before, which was a Buy American requirements under some of that federal changes in the funding that they approved. Required basically materials and inputs to be all American made, which wasn't the requirement before, which, you know, can be very helpful, right, to help our economy in America. But on the other side, in the meantime, our costs are traditionally different. So that one, I think, was a surprise that we heard from the contractors when our construction people took a look at that. Those are probably two of the biggest issues. Complexity of a water plant. They don't build these very often, and there hasn't been any recent ones. So it also makes it a little more estimating harder with the type of piping and unique kind of installations that are required, is kind of another piece. So those were the main things that we had heard back. I think just want to emphasize that a lot of great, I think that also opened up a lot of more due diligence around project cost savings and some other things we'll talk about, I'm sure, about going forward. But those are the primary things that drove the cost change that I think was the, you know, biggest concern was the cost of the project, was probably the biggest issue that was clearly identified. But I would say, based on the bids that we received and the information we got from Bolton & Mink and our staff that are very professional, the numbers were good. So it's not like just going back out to bid would make a difference. Mm-hmm. So we do believe that that is the number. It's disappointing that the estimate versus the actual was so different, because we might have approached it differently going out to bid as well. But that's what happens sometimes on these projects. It's not completely unusual. This does happen. And unfortunately, that was the situation we were in.
And I think the next kind of step in that conversation that was had last night was, well, okay, is there design changes we can make? Can we cut costs in some way? Maybe if we reduce the square footage of the garage, for example. A lot of time I felt like was spent on the discussion of the garage and kind of office space. But that also has its own complexities, if that could actually change the design and costs. So I guess, you know, I know you're not an engineer, Ben, but could you talk a little bit about that side of the adjustment in the time frame if we had to redesign the project as well, or the mayor as well?
Well, I guess I would say that one thing we were trying not to do last night was get too far out ahead of ourselves. I wasn't sure how the vote was going to go. Mm-hmm. And so we were trying not to design from the dais and just send a clear message to staff either way. Either we were accepting or rejecting the bids, and with the rejection, now we're looking to just take a quick breath. We're not going to take this off the table. It will be coming back to us in February, but I think it will be coming back to the full council for the full council discussion and then options from staff. So I really don't have any
sure
clear, distinct suggestions this morning about that.
Mayor, I would agree. The other thing I would add to it, what I did hear, though, was I heard support for the gravity filtration component of the project that would treat the manganese, which is our concern related to elevated levels of manganese that, you know, can cause health problems for children under 12 months and pregnant women. So I heard the council say, we believe in the centralized and in city responsibility in the treatment of that. Doesn't mean absolutely at any cost, but I think very clearly there was an interest to revisit the gravity filtration components of the project, which I would say is the substantive piece to your earlier question too, Logan. The one of the biggest costs that if you keep that base project, the biggest piece of the cost savings would be tied to the reverse osmosis. There are certainly benefits that we've talked about related to that system, but even back when we did the initial study many years ago with the council, when we said what are all the options we're looking at, and they landed on gravity filtration. The second question was, do we also want to look at the adding reverse osmosis, which has some other long-term kind of future benefits related to better for the environment. We have higher water levels here in our river, so it's not as urgent, not mandated by the state. Can help people's internal pipes to their, you know, gives you a longer life to your pipes internally. People like the feeling for like cleaning clothes and washing your hair and that kind of a thing. So those are some of the benefits. The council chose to do that, but the numbers were dramatically different back then too when they made that decision. So I think going back and looking at that's probably the most significant piece. We own the property. We've got sunk costs there. We're committed to building a road with the acquisition of the land. And I think the council understands that they're in the water business and they're looking at those key components. And as you said, there was a lot of other, I would say, design issues that can get looked at too, but I would say that's the biggest piece of probably that the scoping that you could change. And doesn't mean you could also, I would imagine, a little foreshadowing coming up might mean you also look at that and say, could you be able to design it to be able to add things in the future too, sure, that if in the future that makes sense. So those are some of the things we would look at, but I think it was healthy though, even though, as the mayor said, normally at this stage it's kind of the yes or no on it. Naturally, when the prices are that different, part of the process from an accountability standpoint from the council was probing deeper on where there might be other cost savings and issues. They kind of call it value engineering. They go, okay, this is our key components. Are there ways to make the building more efficient? Are there some cost savings to draw out of that? And certainly, I think that's a very appropriate and part of the process to look at that, particularly with where the bids were on this project.
Something, can I just clarify a quick point that he made?
Yeah.
So there's two filters kind of in this plant. There's the gravity filter and there's the reverse osmosis. The gravity filter is what removes the manganese, yes. And the reverse osmosis is what was like the softening, the water softening features, yeah? Am I correct in understanding that?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
I was just going to throw in a quick thing too about next time we go out for bids, it wasn't bid in a modular way this time where you could say, well, we'll take this. And there is a way to kind of set that up also for the next round. So, not that we really want to get into an a la carte situation, but maybe there'd be a clear, that might produce a clear path forward.
Without the reverse osmosis process, or without that equipment, is there a substantial savings on the whole project?
Yeah, I mean, it's. I would say it's significant. I think they were estimating. It's a little hard to unbundle because the project was, as the mayor said, the project really wasn't bid that way, or at least that's part of the piece I think she was getting at. I think about $11 million was estimated on the project, but again, that was on estimating. So there might, you know, if you really want to roll up your sleeves and dig into it, it might be more than that. There is time value of money, and cost increases go up, so that's a factor, so that's a risk too. And so on a split vote, 4-3, I think this is a big, important project, but there's a lot of validity of different opinions, and a little bit of a crystal ball on making the governing decision on what to do is a lot of unknowns. So if you're trying to weigh, like, okay, if the cost increases go up, our consultants can say they predict it, but we'd all be very wealthy if we could predict the future. So that's the tricky part of it. So I think that, we got a clearing of the board and an opportunity to go. And we heard from the council, even though they didn't vote, that they do, like I said, want to continue to look at this issue and not just move on without it. In that collective plan system is still going to be a component of it. And then we'll see how and when or what are the options will be the next step in February work session on the 11th is kind of tentatively what we're looking at.
I think my last question on this before we pivot to the rest of the meeting, Mayor, you voted against the project last night in its current form. I guess just recognizing you don't represent every council member, you don't represent the whole council, but I guess, what was the kind of
what's your perspective?
Yeah, what perspective? Was going through my mind was just how far, it wasn't just 5% over, 10% over the estimates, but it was estimated at $41 million and ended up being $20 million over that. And it was, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I would have loved to have had the bids in a modular way where we could have said, oh, the RO is X, because there's only a small part of the RO in this bid. Most of it comes in the next phase. If $4 million was in this and it's 11, then but again, it was a little hard to visualize and come to a path forward where we could do some cost savings. So I'm totally committed to clean water for everyone, all the equity issues, the environmental issues, the sustainability issues. It was just the how much it was overbid.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Maybe just to clarify for that too, the federal money that we got was earmarked to the equipment for the reverse osmosis.
Oh,
that was a big portion of the cost.
Okay.
The official ask, as our Mr. Wagner, our utilities director, explained, who, by the way, is a phenomenal director. He's a local guy, grew up, got his feet wet actually working in the summer for our utilities department and became his career.
That's great.
And so we're fortunate to have him. He's actually very respected in the industry. He's a common presenter at conferences and things, too, for the Water Association. So Northfield should be proud to have Justin on our staff. The application, as he talked about, doesn't limit us for that use. What he didn't get into is there's a lot of complexity about the money that we get from the federal government for this part of the state. We're unique from the rest of Minnesota for some reason. I haven't found out why, but they have to actually lead the project bidding to start to completion. So it didn't make sense for them to be able to do the entire project, and they wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. So we had to find a way to take that piece of money that would fit to some specific use so it wasn't tied into the full project itself to get that money. We want to take advantage of that. So it got earmarked to that equipment. Now, that could be allocated to other projects that meet, you know, healthy water and drinking might be components of the project, but that'll be another policy discussion, I think, for the council coming up. That work session is depending on what the water plant is and the timing and what we're looking at. How do we keep that federal money in play for some use? Because we do have a water distribution project that's happening to do some water extensions, doing some replacements of water in our next 5-year plan. That could we use that to reduce our costs or apply it to some component of the new plant that we're looking at? Or we have some future looking things too that we've looked at, like a water tower in the Northwest area that might cover the cost of that too. So that'll be another policy thing we'll have to look at And I'm sure staff will have to do a bunch of due diligence related to the timing and the requirements of the federal dollars to see what options are on the table. But it sounds like there are options.
Okay. All right. I've got a question about, and Mayor, I guess I want to ask you this question. What are you hearing from the public about this project? Because my sort of, what we hear, I think, very publicly is a lot of opposition to the plant, but there are quieter conversations, I suppose is the way to put it, that where I've talked to some other people that think that this is maybe a good idea. I don't know. What is the feedback that you personally have been getting about this while you were on the campaign trail and leading up to this this meeting today or last night?
Right, and it's really complex. Yeah. Because in terms of rising costs to residents, it's not just the water treatment plant, but other mm-hmm. projects. There were a lot of projects in the pipeline that some projects got delayed, and we ended up with a bunching of projects. And so I think people are feeling the impact of all of that, not just this project, is what I'm hearing.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Pivoting now from a heavy topic to maybe a little bit more lighter of a topic, hopefully. It's one of the first meetings of the new year. There's new technology you have at the meeting. There's a new format. You move the reports of the board members up. You have a different way you vote. Whole bunch of changes, and you want to talk about some of them.
I did, just because I think the experience that people are having, either in the audience or watching online, they might have been wondering what was going on last night when we didn't have the traditional voice vote, and it looked to some people, I heard, that we weren't following Robert's rules of order. And so what we were trying last night, it was a test, and we'll probably test it maybe one or two more times and see how it goes, because we kind of failed at it last night. but you got to try it more than once. And so we were trying to do an electronic vote on our devices, and mm-hmm. the devices are new to everyone on the council, not just the new folks. They mm-hmm. switch devices, so that's new. And so there were some issues with people being unfamiliar with the devices, unfamiliar with Granicus in general, and then just people wondering about the how it goes. How are we doing this without a voice vote? You push yes or no on the mm-hmm. your device, and so it was, even for me, it was hard. I don't say those in favor say yes and those opposed say no. I got into this rhythm of saying, please indicate your vote on your device. So I would love more feedback from folks about how that's impacting them. It has the potential to make the meeting move more quickly,
which a lot of us really appreciate.
Right. So yeah. that was kind of, that's the intention.
But the technology has to work, right?
And the goal. Yeah.
So if you think of it like, I don't know if some of the folks might have seen at the legislature, at the state, where if you've ever seen them do a video shot of the green board, where green is yes, you know, red's no, and like yellow's abstain. It's kind of like that, but unlike the state where they do it real time and you can see people's votes as it's going up, there's a pause during the voting period, and once everybody's completed, it goes on the screen, basically. So that, I think the theory on that is that people are all not seeing how each other are voting. You kind of do it all at once. We were doing that before, and we were having technical issues, but we were optimistic, hoping that it would continue to work. So we were doing the voice and still doing the button voting. But we were hoping after the second meeting with these surfaces, it would start working with that technology. But that's kind of what it is. So that it's a significant change to the public. The voice vote change, I think, is different. But the voting we were doing before. But again, when you have these new devices, it's a little tricky.
Yeah, I just have to say, I think Robert's Rules was developed more than a couple of centuries ago, and I don't think when they came up with Robert's Rules of running a meeting, they weren't anticipating tablets and things.
They do, update the Robert's Rules. Tablets. They do update Robert's Rules regularly. I think the publisher needs to keep making money as part of the reason they do that. But
who is Robert these days?
I don't know, but Robert it does meet Robert's Rules requirements. Right. It's just a way of doing the business of that, but
okay. All right,
anything else you want to share from last night's council meeting?
Well, I just want to say thank you to you all because, as you mentioned, you put out an article pre-meeting, which really laid out the process to date. I read it. I shared it. I told people to check it out. So thank you so much. I really appreciate something that coming before our meeting and giving people kind of a baseline for the community.
Well, I would like to thank city staff because when you post agendas on Wednesdays now, it gives me time to research and prep those stories. So
well, you can thank the council because they're the ones that made that decision through their rule change. Well, so we're following their rules. I think we ended up getting it out on Wednesday. It's a bit tight at the end of the day as we're trying to transition here. But yeah, that was helpful. And I would say, too, is that's a positive thing, too, is we know that late in the game, there was a lot more interest in the project as they realized kind of the stakes and some of the information. So I think the restart will also... hopefully we'll see people still engaged and that the city can find ways to bring the public along with the decision-making process and offer opportunities for feedback as part of that will be something I'm sure that the council will want to see done going ahead.
Okay. Well, you guys have next week off. The next council meeting is February 4th. Can you believe it? A month already gone of council meetings.
Yeah. I never think of it as a week off. I always, you know, the council always has work to do and staff always has work to do. So there's never a dull moment.
Well, I think of it as a night off. I'm going to go to the movie theater.
You guys, we always do appreciate your time. And February 4th is the next meeting, which means February 5th, you guys will be in here, but you'll be here at 8:40 in the morning. Right? Or at least
yes.
Ben will be.
No, it's a regular.
We can actually talk about the time frame next week, too.
Oh,
I think,
wonderful.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
right.
Wonderful.
Okay, cool. Thanks a lot, you guys. We appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
That's City Administrator Ben Martig and Northfield Mayor Erica Zweifel, along with KYM and News Director Logan Wells.